Good morning. It's morning huddle time. Chad Prinke here, as always, along with my good friend, producer, co-host extraordinaire,
how do you want us to install this water heater? And my coworker's like, I don't know, install the water heater. Like, why are you even asking me? He's like, well, I don't know if you know, but what you designed, it can't physically fit through the front door of this building.
My class is only 40 minutes. So we have to get this done in 40 right? minutes. You have to clean up in 40 minutes. And then it also, when you use the miter saw, a lot of kids are scared of the miter saw, and you just see the difference in their confidence when they come in here compared to when they leave. They're excited.
We'll be announcing a new county that's going to join us in Maryland, so we continue to spread it. And I'll say my peers across the country are starting to take this and adopt this at their local IEC chapters.
Peter, AI assistant tools. You have AI master builder tools, and then you have kind of a bit of both that are one foot in BIM, in current processes, and one foot in AI.
He said, Brett, in life, opportunity meets you at your level of preparation.
She said, here's the keys, go forth and do great things. Amen.
Good morning. It is morning huddle time. Chad Prinke here alongside Stacey Holzinger. How are you, Stacey?
Good. Good morning. I'm excited of another AI discussion. Very important. And with my friends, Mark and Jordan, that I've got to know over the past, oh God, is it 8 months, 10 months now? I went through their black belt ChatGPT training, which was super helpful, just trying to understand AI and figure out what use cases and how to apply it to the construction industry. So that's what we'll be talking about today. Where are you at on your AI journey?
Yeah, so I'm not the leader of the initiative on our staff. We've got a few people who I would call, you know, early adopters and very obsessed, you know, with the technology and everything that it has to do. We've been successfully incorporating it into our business. Like I say, I basically get told what to do, you know, by my team, like, hey, start doing this or whatever else. We're finding it mostly impactful when it comes to market research work. That has been super helpful in terms of being able to gather source data. And then obviously we climb in and check it because GPT hallucinates and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we are definitely leveraging AI successfully as a way of increasing our product quality for our clients, which has been really good.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you?
I've been using it for business writing and marketing and things like that. I mean, it's necessary at this point. It's been a game changer in being able to produce things more quickly for my clients. And I'm just getting better at the prompt writing and getting better output for what I need. But I mean, you can use it for so many cool things. I remember taking your negotiation course, which came in handy last night, by the way, because I was talking to a roofer. And you can use it for, what's it called, role play for negotiation. Sure. And I didn't think about that when I was talking last night, negotiating prices. But after the fact, I was like, man, I could have used this for, you know.
Yeah, totally. Right. To get you ready a little bit for some of the gives and gets and things along those lines. Yeah, I think personally, my most successful usage of AI outside of client facing stuff where, again, like I say, it's just a useful tool to enhance the products that we're producing, particularly through research. I'm using AI as a thought partner for ideas that I am trying to develop. It's funny. I went back and forth with a friend of mine who I've changed my GPT to be kind of a jerk. Right. Because I just don't need GPT being nice to me. Like, it's cool. You know, don't tell me my idea is cool. Shut up and poke holes in it. Right. Like that kind of thing. And then it's really mean because it has no feelings. Mm-hmm. And and I was sending him screenshots of being like, be very careful the guidance you give to GPT about how it treats you, because my ego is a little damaged now. But I think that's been my personal greatest success with using it, is like, hey, I've got this idea. Shoot it to all hell and poke a bunch of holes in it. And it's kept me from investing more than 10 minutes in some things that, you know, I just daydream about. I'm a total straight up, you know, visionary style person. I have the the pretty picture in my mind. And it's been a great way to check viability of some of these concepts that I may have otherwise wasted a bunch of my and my worse my team's time trying to develop. But then the flip side of that is, you know, on some things that we're committed to developing, it's helped to, you know, future cast some of the pitfalls and the things that we need to be prepared for. So I really enjoy using it as like I say, a thought partner. For me personally, I would recommend leaders engage with it, you know, to talk about theory. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, good. Let's bring on our guests. We've got Jordan Roberts and Mark Pozzoli. Pozzuoli, my bad, Mark.
You nailed it the first time. Well done.
Pozzuoli, my bad, yeah. My bad. That you threw me for a loop on the second try. So Jordan and Mark are with Journey Alliance, and they're helping contractors on their AI journey. And joining us today to talk about practical use cases, day-to-day use cases, things that people can start to actually apply and also paint a little bit of a picture on what they're doing to help contractors on their AI journey and give you some options for ways to engage. So Mark, Jordan, thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. So you know, I this is one of those topics that I feel like, I saw a really funny meme yesterday from a fellow that I follow on LinkedIn who Ryan Graves, who posts all kinds of fun content. And he posted this really funny meme yesterday that said, you know, what do we want? AI. Right. Like, and it was like, you know, when do we want it now? What is it going to do? We're not sure, you know, kind of thing. And I think that describes where I think the majority of construction leaders are in their understanding of AI. They know it's a thing. Some of it are downright afraid of it. Some of it are downright excited about it. Very few are really effectively leveraging it in multiple ways across their business. And actually probably somewhat similar to what I described. And as Stacy and I were talking about, our usage is like, we're getting value, but we're not necessarily all in different ways on AI at this point. And I think that would make us normal, but it also means that we're missing out possibly on some stuff. So maybe talk about, you know, what you're seeing out there with contractors in engagement with AI, where they're starting today and the biggest kind of hurdles you're helping them to confront right out of the gate.
Sure. So I think you're spot on. A lot of not just contractors, small business owners across the board, but specifically contractors, it's this tool. They know that they're going to need to use it eventually. They know it's coming, but they just don't know where to start. And it's this kind of big piece of ominous technology. For me, I've been around a long time. I kind of reflect back to the dot-com boom. It's, you know, it's back. Hey, I need a website. Why? Like, so people don't know the why yet. So they're really just, I think they need to start with information and learning, right? So the simplest first step is just start using it. It's not a fad. It's not a trend. I think the more you get comfortable having conversations, the better off you're going to be. I particularly like what you were talking about, Chad, using as a thought partner. That's my primary use case as well. Like having it ask me questions, responding to those questions, having it summarize my thoughts, like things that are super low risk and helpful to me, like in kind of keeping my own headspace organized. I think that's where I would encourage people to start using it because it's low risk, it's easy, and they don't really have to expose to anyone else that they're using it, right? It's a way to kind of dip their toe in the water.
Awesome. So if I just start using it, is the tool that I should use GPT? Should I go ahead and spend for a premium membership out of the gate? Like what's like that toe in the water step?
Yeah, I think what you're quickly going to realize, like you could start with free, but what you're quickly going to realize on free is the limitations, right? The prompt count limitations on a daily basis, you're going to run up against them fairly quickly. So that's what I think clients have run up against. That's their biggest challenge is that they start using it and they're like, oh, I don't have any more prompts left today. And so that's a challenge. You know, now you can turn off. The one thing I would do, regardless of which account type you go with, I would encourage everyone to do is there's a setting within your data settings that it talks about making the model better for everyone, which is a really nice spin on it from OpenAI, which is, are you allowing them to train on your data? And mm-hmm. I would go turn that switch off. Whatever you're on, you didn't used to be able to turn it off on the free version, but you can now. So whatever version you're on, go turn that switch off, in my opinion. Like, you don't want whatever it is you're going to share to turn into the training data. There's plenty of other people willing to do that. And if, as a business
owner. And that's in the settings now?
Yeah, it's in the settings.
And, you know, I've had lots of conversations with friends and AI consultants, you know, over the past several months about this. Like, I think one of the largest barriers to engagement from contractors is fear. Just, you know, I'm really worried that I'm going to in some way undermine my own business by, you know, sharing data with this thing that could be shared elsewhere, things along those lines. So that's a practical first step, turning that setting off. You know, this is maybe more of like a philosophical or gut question, but ultimately, do you trust that what you're sharing and that their license agreement and all that kind of stuff, like, do you trust that it is not going to be used in any inappropriate way?
So I trust OpenAI because they have too much at stake for it to be used inappropriately, so long as OpenAI stays solvent. Now, I mean, that's a bigger theoretical question, but like, and I don't want to get off track, but look at what happened to 23andMe with all these DNA results.
Right.
I don't know, right? Like, they had agreed to not ever share or sell that data, but now they're not solvent, and the whoever buys them has to make that decision again. Like, so that you just need to, you have to continue to pay attention. I think it's a really great question. You have to continue to pay attention. As long as OpenAI stays in the position they're in, they're not going to share it because they have too much at stake, right? They have too much. But behind the scenes, there's also that ability for them to prevent people from, they're being told to save all chats for some legal records, right? Like, these are things that are out of their hands. So you need to maintain some level of caution, I would say. I think another aspect though, so I think using it for the owner themselves, dipping their toe in, starting using it, that's a good first step. For your business, I think one of the really imperative first steps is putting a policy together. What's okay and what's not okay? Like, can you take something directly out of ChatGPT and send it to a client? Probably not a great idea without reviewing it first, right? You got to put your stamp of approval on it. So let your employees know what's okay and what's not okay because they're using it. So what, you might as well give them guidance, because if you don't give them guidance, they might do something you don't agree with, and then you have to kind of clean up the mess. So I would say an AI use policy is a really good way to start for a business, to start to either build some acceptance, or if you're just against it, like, tell people that like it's not acceptable. I wouldn't say that's the right stance, but like, every owner has to make their own decision.
Right on. Yeah. All right, cool. So Jordan, you're on the content side of the business. Talk a little bit about what your role is in all of this, and you know, maybe to the extent that you're interfacing with clients on their AI journey, what you're seeing on the content front.
Yeah, so I mean, I use AI every single day, but I don't use it in super complicated ways. I use it like kind of like we've already discussed, as you know, a thought partner. I use it to help me maybe come up with ideas, and then I'll write them themselves, because I don't know if you've seen, everyone can tell when AI writes something entirely. Mm-hmm. So just copying and pasting doesn't work. I found it to be a really good research partner. I think you had mentioned maybe kind of doing some kind of sentiment analysis with AI. It is such a good tool for that, for market research, because it can, for example, go into Reddit and find out what people are talking about, and that keeps you up to date. And then, of course, you can go look yourself, but now you have a summary and a starting point. So that's really how I'm using it in that way. I've seen people talking about, like, I replaced my entire marketing team with this Inaden thing or whatever. I don't really know the truth to that. I've never been able to get an automation to like completely work without having to tweak it like every other day myself. Yeah. And that's probably user error. But so I'm using it. I use it as a task organizer as well, because you can have ChatGPT send you reminders for things. And I'm seeing, you know, every day I see a new way that people are using it too, like as a content engine, to summarize transcripts, to pull out content things or insights, meeting summarizers. But it's not these major revolutionary use cases that you might expect with how much people are talking about AI. It's these small things that I'm using it for that make a lot of a difference in my workday that save me a lot of time. But I wouldn't say it's like this super impressive thing when I tell people, yeah, I have it take a meeting transcription and that helps me pull out content ideas. That doesn't sound world-changing, but it makes a lot of difference in my day.
Nice. Stacey, some similarities there between what Jordan's doing and what you're doing?
Yeah, and even going back to the policy issue that Mark was talking about, everyone's afraid of a lot of stuff, but if you kind of put together a list of things that, like a lot of marketing activities and even some HR activities, like writing job descriptions, that's stuff that you're going to put out there. So it's not private information, or like putting together your capability sheet that you're going to share, you know, on your website or with your clients or things like that. It's different writing assignments now that, you know, that people don't need necessarily permission or access to confidential information. Now, if you're writing a proposal process, that stuff, you might want to have a policy in place. But there's certain stuff with a proposal that you can tweak. I mean, resume stuff or project portfolio information that you would already have on your website, things like that, that you can use ChatGPT that are super helpful for putting all that together. But I wouldn't use it to crunch like financial numbers, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Right on.
Can we talk about other use cases, Mark, like for a construction business owner, what they would use it for? Like we talked about marketing and social media, summary updates, you know, capability sheets, resume writing, case studies, things like that. But what else, like RFI, submittals, what have you seen? I know in our cohort, we have a mix of construction, business owners, and professionals. So what do you see them using it for?
So we've seen it actually in use. I would say the most common use cases where people are the most comfortable are in summarizing information. So let's say you're getting daily logs in, you're getting them every day, and part of your process is to write a weekly summary for a client. Like that's a fantastic Gen AI use case, right? Like you pull all the photos together easy enough manually and then like have it rewrite the summary of what happened for the week instead of having someone have to do it themselves. So, I mean, things like that, these are real low hanging fruit. I still would advise somebody look over it at the end, review it, somebody with knowledge of what actually happened and then before it goes out, but it saves them the time of writing it. Reporting back, interesting, more of a discussion. CEO contacted me. What they want to do is they want to basically monitor their entire end-to-end construction process. Like, and are we ticking all the boxes? Are we dotting I's, crossing T's, and hitting every step? And this is a really good thing for where AI can help, assuming that your process isn't super tight right now. And what I mean by that is if your entire process exists in a system, in a Procore or some other system where it's already easy to tell if you're hitting all the steps, then this is not an AI-based process, right? But if a lot of your process exists in documents and things that aren't within another system, you know, and you're not checking boxes, if you will, as you complete different steps, AI can go in and read daily logs. It can go in and read documents. It can read plans, and it can give you feedback on, yes, it appears that you did do this, and this step, we don't see any evidence that this step was completed. And I think that's a good safety catch internally. I think it's a really good concept from a GC. Like, hey, we want to make sure we're following our process as much as possible and highlight when we're not. And again, it's super low risk. If the AI is wrong, somebody goes to double check, did we do that step? We did. Okay. And we move on. So it's super low risk as opposed to putting something that actually interfaces with the client, which is, I would generally say, is a higher risk area of using AI. Larger companies obviously have the ability to test and root out problems, and smaller companies don't. So you want to keep your risk level down.
So this kind of opens up the, I don't know, next frontier or what have you of AI that I think so many more advanced contractors are searching for, that may have to do with plugins, may have to do with how AI can actually interface with existing tech. What are you seeing out there in terms of AI's ability to interface with the types of tools that contractors are using on a daily basis to manage their work, whether that's, you know, Procore or fill in the blank?
Yeah. So you're seeing the companies move forward at a good clip. There have been some missteps by not construction companies, but by some other companies, and they made some features available too quickly and they didn't go well. So I think everyone is slowing down on kind of these mass scale features, if you will, that they would release to clients. But companies are starting to add things like MCP, which is I don't want to get technical, but that's an API for AI. It's an AI styled API, which allows AI to access the information within a system, put some guardrails around it. So as you start to see these applications allow AI systems like ChatGPT to reach into them and access the information within them and query it as it's trying to answer a prompt, I think you're going to start to get even more value out of it. As it stands today, as an example of where this is possible, a pretty big CRM that some of my clients use, some contractors use, called HubSpot, they have an MCP server. And so you can hook HubSpot to your ChatGPT and you can query your CRM database. So this is kind of helpful on asking about a particular prospect or a particular lead or a particular deal, but it's really helpful when you send it off and do a deep research and say, hey, look at all the deals I have for the rest of the year and tell me, you know, what does our pipeline look like? What are the biggest risks? Which deals aren't moving? Which deals appear to be stuck? And I mean, over time, you can write these prompts, you make them better and better, you iterate over them and and improve them. And like you start being able to pull analysis reports, right? Whereas in the past, you could pull the data. Now you can pull the data and the analysis of the data at the same time. And I think that's going to really start to provide owners where they probably don't have a business analyst on staff, right? The ability to go and pull data that's already been analyzed fairly well out of a system like a ChatGPT. So I think that's, you look a year ahead, a lot more of these systems are going to have that capability.
And yeah, I think that's exciting. And I think that's going to be that's going to launch practical usage of AI tools, I think, into more of the mainstream because it's built into your existing software platform. And it's as easy as saying, like, you know, and I can imagine the little helper showing up and being like, would you like some, you know, would you like our take on some analytics, some suggested prompts, things along those lines that'll help people to start, you know, using it built into the existing software. There's kind of two things that I've heard you talk about, Mark. And one is maybe feeding your existing data, i.e. spreadsheet, PDF, whatever, into GPT and saying, hey, tell me some of the things, like, did we do our daily reports? Or, you know, here's a bunch of spreadsheet data pulled from a report. I'm feeding this in and, hey, GPT, tell me what's going on, or Claude, or fill in the blank. Tell me what's going on. Then the next iteration of this is built inside your existing software platforms, having an AI agent that kind of lives in those platforms to help you to pull data from it. I'll go to a third, which is maybe the scariest frontier for so many. I really don't know where to start. Custom AIs, our own trained AIs. I've heard some speakers basically say, like, the whole thing is you're going to want your own robots inside your own business, and you're not going to want to leave this to GPT. You're not going to want to leave this to, you know, the agents that are built onto the software platforms you're paying for. You want your own AI agents. How viable is that? How much is that happening today, and where does one start?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility looking forward. It's possible today. It's a pretty big lift for a small business. It's probably a low six-figure type project to deploy your own internal AI. The quality of that AI, the capabilities of that AI would be a little bit less than what's available on the open market. But these are open source, what they're called as open-weighted models. So these are models that have been developed by, in this case, the one I'm thinking of, by OpenAI. Other model makers also make some of their models open source. So you can take them, you can run them on, I say computers, but really we're talking about very, very powerful computers that would run in your office, or even if they're in the virtual cloud, but they'll still be on your kind of equipment that's allocated to you. And so no one else is going to get those logs, right? No one else is going to have access to that data that runs through that system. The other benefit is you're going to have access to all the logs, if you choose, of every single query that goes across that platform internally. So you can also, are we seeing usage? Like, are we getting enough usage? What is it being used for? Right. So you can start to do the kind of analysis that OpenAI is doing on their users, right? You could do that within an org. So obviously at small scale, like, that's not going to balance out anytime soon. But at a medium-sized contractor or even, obviously at a much larger contractor, these are things that are going to make a lot of sense in pretty short order. As soon as you feel like you have some secret sauce, so to speak, you have some IP, you're not going to want to let that IP out of the building. And so I think that that's where this ends up. We're so early in AI, right? I mean, 3 years ago, none of us were talking about this. So we're so early that prices are bound to come crashing down at some point. And then you'll be able to just buy, you'll probably be able to walk into your local Best Buy and buy a little AI box that you bring into your office, and you've got your own little, right, chat box in your office. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's happened. How many times has that happened with other things, right? So, I mean, in 98, 99.com boom, getting a website was a $40,000-$50,000 thing. And now it's $5 a month, if that. It's probably free for most people. So,
yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I'm seeing the same thing. Chad, been on a couple presentations and they're all pushing like get your own AI. But the reality is most businesses are small businesses and they don't have the bandwidth to implement that or the price tag that it comes with. So as what Mark's saying, I would just experiment with like what's already out there, utilize that, and then wait for the prices to come down to get your own. Yeah. I think that's a smart move. Unless awesome. You're a big company and you want to jump ahead of it and you have the dollars.
What do you find, and I'll open this to both of you, whoever wants to answer, like what do you find is the most common and most impactful advice that you are giving to your clients early in the process that, you know, within months of engaging your group, you're giving this type of advice, you know, and again, it's a general bucket of advice, but like this thing that seems to change the game for so many people.
You have any thoughts, Sir Jordan?
Yeah, well, I was going to say these are actually Mark's words, but I'll say them. Mark has made a point several times that made using AI more effective for me, and that is to shift to process thinking. So if you're asking AI for something, but you don't have a process nailed down and you don't know like what steps you're trying to have it replace, it's not going to be as effective. And that was kind of a new way of thinking for me. It may not be the case for everyone, but of thinking in every single step, and I know all of these steps and I know the output that I want, what step is it that I can have AI help with that's more effective than just being like, AI, give me this. You know, AI, help me with this. You're having it take over a particular step of a process. And that makes it just so much easier and more effective because then you can narrow down on a very specific use case rather than kind of just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks, you know?
Love it. Any others that you would add to that, Mark?
Yeah, I would add, it sounds crazy, but like people come back constantly and it's work on things that matter to you and just try. Right. Just like try to use it because like with anything else, it's something that your level of experience with it really matters. Average prompts lead to average results. Good prompts, good results. Great prompts, great results. Right. So like and you don't write great prompts day one. So to Jordan's point, I think a lot about lately because of AI, I think a lot about how I think. Right. Like when we answer a question, we have like a 6 or 7 step process we go through in our brain and we don't think about it. We don't like register those steps. When you step back and you think about what are the actual steps I go through to get this information, and then you walk ChatGPT through those steps, you get a better result, right? You get what you're expecting.
I love that. It's a great point. And I think, you know, in my own AI experience, when it comes to prompt writing, one of the things that I've found most helpful is just literally treat it like it reports to you and be a good boss. Like be very good and thorough at exactly what you are looking for and what you're not looking for, right? You know, those different types of things. And when it takes a first stab, like give it some more feedback, correct, and say, you know, like this was good, and these three things were not what I was looking for, and I need a little bit more depth there. And in that way, it's so much more satisfying than Google. You know, it's so much more satisfying, right? Because it really continues to refine and refine. How many times have you jumped into Google and tried to look something up and been very disappointed at the search results? And you're like, what's the right search term, you know, type of thing? Well, it's like that experience, but so much more fulfilling and so much better output because there's no limit to how many times you can ask and the ways that you can ask. And then when you key in on it, you know, one thing that I have is like my personal prompt book of the things that help me for different scenarios, research and thinking partner strategy sessions, you know, things along those lines for myself, just because I've learned the lessons that like that, that would, let's just shortcut to how that worked, you know, really well. But yeah, just think like this person reports to you, this thing reports to you, and it needs a lot of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, good. Stacey, any other questions that you have coming away from the conversation?
I guess we could probably end with like, how can you learn, like, can we talk about the black belt training and what that covers, how people can get involved? Because I found it extremely helpful and I'm so glad that you guys invited me to join in with you. Because when I first started, I was so lost and my biggest hurdle was use cases. I couldn't think of how I could apply this to my business and how I could help my construction business owners. And now I have a very clear understanding of that going through your training. So can you just walk a little bit about like what the sessions cover and how to get involved?
Sure. So it's organized as 8 belts, right? And we try to take people from very base, like rudimentary level, assuming no knowledge, right? And then layering on knowledge through the sessions. So it starts with this something as simple as all the different ways you can prompt ChatGPT, you know, with text, images, files, code, voice, right? And talking through what those all look like, how it can respond to you. And that's for anyone that's using it all the time, that feels super rudimentary. And often people still take something away that they didn't know. And then we build on that each week. Right around the middle of the course, you learn how to build a GPT, a custom GPT. Which a lot of people find really valuable. You learn how to build out an AI workflow. And then it gets at the end, it gets very strategic. And we start talking about strategic model making. I don't want to confuse it with AI model making. We talk about strategic model making. Like, how do you take the knowledge you have, the concepts you have, and turn them into a strategic framework and pass that on to somebody else, right? So that your knowledge, if you think about the way you think about things, it's really hard to like communicate that to someone else, which is why people build frameworks like Blue Ocean Strategy or, you know, all the lean, you know, like the lean startup framework, things like that. Like, and so it helps you. We have a class where like, hey, here's how you can explore what you could turn your ideas into a framework. And it's very high level strategic thinking, but I think it really opens people's minds to what's possible with Gen AI. So
it's awesome.
So that's the course we go through, and people are interested, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn. Super easy to find there. They can go to our website, which is journey-alliance.com, and there's a page on AI there as well.
Beautiful. All right, good. Jordan, Mark, anything that you feel like you need to share with the audience before we part ways this morning?
I think we covered it. Mark has all this technical knowledge that I think is just so valuable. So I think it would
You guys do your a weekly session where you're giving us your latest tips.
So right.
I have logged on and I've like, Mark's always sharing the best stuff. Like, he keeps up on this stuff, and then they have a great newsletter because things are changing so quickly. So I just love to tune in sometimes. And like, Jordan's great too, like with all her examples and stuff and your posts and everything. So, but can you share when that usually goes on?
Yeah. So we have a show kind of like this. Podcast may not be the right word for ours yet, but Journey Intelligence, it's every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make that time, it is always recorded. But if you go to our business page, you'll be able to see the events posted there. So the Journey Alliance business page.
It's on LinkedIn and Google.
Yep. LinkedIn and YouTube. Yeah.
And YouTube, sorry. Yeah.
Good deal. Great. Well, thank you guys. We'll be sure to check it out. Thank you so much for joining. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us, Chad and Stacey. Really appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you. See ya.
All right, Stacey, I'm going to take a quick moment, and I want to thank our sponsor for this show. The show today is brought to you by Genesis AEC. They're the experts in life sciences, facility design and construction, architect, engineering, construction, all under one roof from concept to completion. Genesis delivers excellence that moves science forward. So thank you, Genesis AEC, for your support of the Morning Huddle and, you know, helping to bring positive change to the construction community one episode at a time. All right, Stacey, what do we have coming up in the future here?
Yes. So next we have Matt McCaffrey from Scansa joining us next week on a discussion about the skilled trades gap and what they're doing over there at Scansa. So excited to have him on board.
Wonderful. Yeah. You and your skills.
You know, I love this topic.
Skilled, I know. Yeah. It's a never ending, you know, process as we aim to, you know, close the gap in what we actually need in the field. So look forward to hearing what some of the best in the business are doing about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, awesome. Stace, anything that you got going on, you should let the audience know.
I always have stuff going on. So to continue with the AI discussion, we had to reschedule ABC Metro Washington's business writing course, but that will be in December. So if you need a break from all the holiday parties and you want to learn more about how ChatGPT can help you personally or your business, looking forward to hosting more of those because there's so many use cases for business writing that I think will blow you away. And I'm excited to teach people how it's going to help them.
The feedback on the sessions has been consistently positive. So looking forward to the continuation of that. Stace, good work over there.
Yeah. What about you? Anything?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're smack in the middle of retreat season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just call out that, you know, that there's if your business does not have a strategic business plan, if your construction business doesn't have a roadmap for where you're trying to go over the next 3 to 5 years, now is the time, whether you reach out to us and get help from Well-Built Construction Consulting or whether you run down that path on your own, for goodness sake, please get yourself a strategic plan in place and a guidebook for you and your team to grow in your business. And then later here in November, later in the fall, we have our business development boot camp. And then into December, we have our executive leadership boot camp. And both of those are, you know, we run them every quarter, and every quarter I'd say they get a little better. We get a little smarter, with
it. Are those local in the Maryland?
So right now, they continue to be hosted in Maryland, though we are going to be adding one on the West Coast next year. So stay tuned on that. Yeah, we've had contractors in California and Hawaii and Alaska and stuff like that reach out, and they're like, is there any chance you're going to do something on the West Coast? And so we've been gathering a wait list, and we're going to be launching both on the West Coast next year.
Well, if you need help in Hawaii, I am available. I'm just letting you know.
I have a hard time saying no to our Hawaii-based clients. You know, just, all right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think everyone needs some time on an island right now after the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, cool. We'll see you soon, Stace. Thank you so much for all you do.
All right, you too. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.